At one time, there was a serious, back in the 70s, I think it was, at Clark Commission, and there was serious talk about separating out the appellate bench from the trial bench.
Well, first there was, and that occurred while I was active in the Bar Association, there was a strong movement to see whether or not there could be appointment of all judges. They couldn't get enough sufficient signatures to put on the ballot. Then there was an effort made to, through the Bar Association again, in the 70s, well, let's see about just the appellate court judges.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they could not get the signatures. Then when Lieutenant Governor Brickley was running for governor, he tried to get enough signatures to put on the ballot to allow the governor to appoint the appellate judges and the boards of, or the Board of Governors of Wayne State, the Board of Trustees of Michigan State, and the Regents of U of M, you know, the colleges that the governor appointed. And he couldn't get signatures for that. So it has virtually died away. Every now and then it surfaces as an issue. But I think that the people of the state of Michigan have made it very clear in the past, and I see nothing that has occurred since then that would suggest to me that the people would want to change from an appointed, from an elected to an appointed system or a Missouri plan. As a practical matter, however, a lot of judges already are appointed by the governor. It is when they must stand for to retain their seat at the next available election that the election process comes in. More people are come to the judiciary that way through governmental to governor appointment than through actually running for a vacant seat or to challenge an existing incumbent and winning.
What is your view of the manner that is sometimes a subject of comment that a court of appeals judge is never lost for re-election? We've lost a lot of good Supreme Court judges, or let me put it this way, good ones. I mean people who had served honorably and who were knocked off without, you know, having sinned in an egregious way.
In the Court of Appeals, the way the system has worked is that there has not been, that I can recall, any challenge to any incumbent on the Court of Appeals. I think the same thing would be true on the Michigan Supreme Court. However, we have on the Michigan Supreme Court the political parties involved, and the way that is set up, it is abundantly clear at every election of a new justice, or in the case of Conrad Mallett, who is now on the Michigan Supreme Court, who took my place. When I left, I had 4 years remaining on my term. He must run in 1992 in an effort to serve my unexpired term. Then he's got to run again in 1994 for a full term. So he'll have to run twice in a row. The same thing happened to Justice Ryan. Justice Ryan had to run for a short term, then had to turn around 2 years later and run for a full term. And it was after that full term that he got the appointment to go up to
the
Sixth Circuit. Yeah, he
sought
the appointment to a lifetime appointment.
Well,
so that we find that in an election, whether it's for a full term or a unexpired term, if, as in the case of Conrad Mallett, who is a Democrat, the Democratic Party will then nominate one person for that position. As an incumbent, he can file a self-designation form, he can file a affidavit of incumbency that automatically will put him on the ballot. However, because there's such a drop-off in all of the precincts, irrespective of ethnicity, irrespective of the economic wherewithal of any precinct anywhere in the state, there is a drop-off between the top of the ticket and the judiciary. All are nonpartisan. So it is absolutely imperative, I think, that one gets nominated by their respective party, because it helps in terms of getting your name out, and it helps with one's retention or election. And so Justice Dorothy Riley is up in 92, and she's a Republican, and so she will go to her party to seek the nomination, though she will also file an affidavit of incumbency.